17 students and 3 professors made the trip from east to west across Cuba, mirroring the path of many revolutionary movements they studied as part of the course. The students are from a variety of backgrounds. Some are native Spanish speakers, and some have or had family originally from Cuba. One student, Eric Coller, has neither.
All throughout the city at night, there are festivals going on, little parties, people celebrating the music, celebrating the culture, being one with each other, and bonding in their communities. And it was just something that, as an outsider, I felt welcome, though, to be a part of. I felt brought in by the Cuban people, and it was an experience I will never forget.
Each student highlighted a different aspect of the trip. Nearly every student's presentation reflected an appreciation of Cuba's beauty. Kelly Fitzgerald touched on the economy and extreme poverty of the country. Tourism is one of the primary sources of income for many of the villagers. She explained even police accept under-the-table dollars from tourists.
They gave them 3 kooks, which is equal to $3, basically, maybe a little more, and a bag of leftover food. And for that, they got to go on a private tour of the Capitol building at night.
Chaperone professors Dennis Ray and James Lopez introduce the history of the country and their estimations for its future. Ray believes the country will retain its autocratic structure.
So the future of Cuba, economically, I think it's going to be prosperous. The situation, the human condition within Cuba will improve economically. Where I'm less optimistic is what will happen politically.
President Barack Obama renewed the U.S. trade embargo on Cuba last September, extending the trade ban for another year. Professor Lopez said the embargo has been counterproductive and sees the best way to destabilize the Cuban regime is to open Cuba up, allowing the exchange of money and ideas. He said the embargo has allowed Cuban officials to blame someone else for problems within the country.
When someone would criticize the Cuban government, for example, for limiting access to the internet and censoring the internet, well, it's fairly easy to justify that censorship of the internet because they could say, well, we only have 300 megabytes to go around for everybody, so everybody can't just be online doing whatever it is they want. No. Whereas if they had complete access, if everyone had complete access to the internet, and there are other ways around it, there's satellite ways and other, but if everyone had full access to the internet, then they would have to make a decision of do we censor or do we not censor. But in a way, the sort of embargo does their job for them.
Last year, President Obama eased travel restrictions to Cuba for educational and religious purposes. Lopez said University of Tampa is one of the first schools to take advantage of the opportunity. He says even though the country is still under a dictatorship, Cuba has seen slow economic liberalization since the transfer of power to Fidel Castro's younger brother, Raul. As recent as 6 months ago, Raul began allowing the buying and selling of houses and cars in the country.
It used to be, for example, in Cuba, you had your house. And if you wanted to change house, you had to find somebody else who was willing to switch with you. And that was it. You had to switch. But now Raul's liberalized in such a way to allow people to own a second home and potentially rent that home. And so that implies a tacit acceptance of the existence of private property, which didn't exist before.
The professors said they hope to repeat the trip with future student groups. Our website, WMNF.org/news, has a link to a short film by student Christian Fernandez, who captured the journey on camera to document the group's experience. For WMNF News, I'm Liz McKibben in Tampa.